Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to enter the world of books that did not make it into the Bible. For those of you who don't know, or maybe you do know, the Bible is actually a collection of books. It's not one book, but it's a collection of books. 66 books are in the Bible. 39 books are in the Old Testament of our Christian Bible, and 27 books are in the New Testament of our Christian Bible. But there are a lot of other books floating around, both in Old Testament times and New Testament times, that kind of acted like they should be part of the Bible, kind of maybe the authors hoped they'd be part of the Bible, but they never made it into the Bible. And so why is that? They didn't make it into the so-called canon of the Bible. The word canon is a word for measuring rod, and so these books did not measure up. And it wasn't like some council had to meet and decide. They didn't measure up. They just didn't measure up. The whole of the people of God, both in Old Testament times and then the church in New Testament times, these books just did not authenticate themselves to the church or to the Jews prior to Jesus' day. And so they didn't make it in. So we want to go over some of those. This is really a part two. So we did a podcast or two ago. We did a podcast called Books of the Bible. And we talked about how books got into the Bible. Now we're talking about some books that did not make it in and why they didn't make it in. So let's take a look at these lists. First of all, we'll go back to the Old Testament. And there are some books that are part of the what's called the Apocrypha. They're also called deuterocanonical books. So deutero means two. Obviously, you can see perhaps the derivation of that. So the second canon, if you will, they're secondary to the canonical 39 books of the Old Testament. Now, if you are Roman Catholic or have Roman Catholic friends, they will be very familiar with these books because Roman Catholics tend to read these books more often than Protestants. In fact, a lot more often than Protestants. Protestants almost don't even know they exist, except that they know the Catholics have some books that they don't know about. But Roman Catholics will read these books even in their worship services, as will some Protestant denominations read selections of from these writings. So, but basically, these books have never been considered part of the canon, the true books of Scripture. We talked about in that previous podcast how Jesus used essentially the same Old Testament canon that we have. Of course, he didn't call it the Old Testament. There was only one Testament at the time. But Jesus used those same books quoted from them. The other apostles quoted from them in the New Testament time as well. So anyway, we have a list, if you're watching on YouTube, a list of these books on the screen that are kind of secondarily canonical, if you will. Not part of the main canon of the Old Testament. We would say that they're not inspired by God, but they are perhaps useful in some ways. They can also be misleading in some ways, depending on what's in there, because they're not the Word of God. So these books are Tobit, Judith. There's some additions to the book of Esther, some extra chapters to the book of Esther, a book of wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, or the book of Sirach. Ecclesiasticus is different than the book of Ecclesiastes, very close, but in the Bible, Ecclesiastes is there. Ecclesiasticus is not. The book of Baruch, some additions to the book of Daniel, the prayer of Manasseh, and books of Maccabees. All of these books, I think it's true, all of them, come from the period, the time period between Malachi, the last book of our Old Testament, written, I think, about 430, 440 BC. So the book of Malachi, and the time of Jesus. So there's this 400 years of silence where there are no prophets of God. God's people are waiting. And God, you know, kind of the ultimate author of drama. God has all these prophets in the Old Testament, and then suddenly nothing. Waiting. A dramatic pause, if you will, until, of course, John the Baptist shows up on the scene. Well, in between Malachi and John the Baptist, you have these other writings. None of them, again, are considered to be the Word of God, even by, I think, Roman Catholics. I think I would be right in saying that even Roman Catholics view these books as deuterocanonical, somewhat secondary, not really to the level of those 39 canonical books of the Old Testament. So that's the Apocrypha. And those are the ones that are perhaps considered, if any of the books we'll talk about today, considered the most authoritative compared to some of the others, which are just downright, they got some crazy stuff in them. So let's move on. Still, though, in Old Testament times, there are what's called the pseudepigrapha. You have to take a spelling class to learn how to do all this, but the pseudepigrapha, essentially, these are, if you know what a pseudonym is, so if I'm using a pseudonym, so I'm writing a book, for instance, and I'm calling my book, we'll see in a moment, if I was writing a New Testament book and I wanted people to read it, I might call it the Gospel of Thomas. Well, I'm not Thomas, but I'm writing a book and I'm calling it the Gospel of Thomas in the hopes that people will read it. Well, the Old Testament times, people did the same thing. They used pseudonyms to author books in the hopes that people would read them, in the hopes they'd get accepted. And if you look up the pseudepigrapha of the Old Testament, you will find that, as I say on the screen here on YouTube, that there are too many to list. There, I don't even know how many, but so many that I decided not even to bother listing them on the screen. And they don't even come close to being part of the Apocrypha even. So there you go. There's those pseudepigrapha from Old Testament times. More well-known are pseudepigrapha from New Testament times, like I just suggested to you, the Gospel of Thomas. So there are Apocrypha of the New Testament, but a lot of these are pseudepigrapha. So, for instance, the Shepherd of Hermes is not pseudepigrapha in the sense that the author is not claiming that it was written by an apostle. If you remember from that previous podcast, in order to get into the New Testament, a book had to be written by an apostle or have a close connection to the apostles in order to get into the New Testament. So, for instance, Paul was an apostle, and so if Paul writes a letter, that means that he's writing scripture. It gets into the New Testament, as long as it's accepted by the whole church. We talked about that again in that previous video. So Shepherd of Hermes does not pretend to be written by an apostle. So it's an apocryphal book, if you will, of the New Testament. It's probably one of the most well-known of the New Testament Apocrypha. Quite an interesting read, actually, if you want to go online and read it there or purchase a copy of that. It's quite interesting. Then there's lots of pseudepigrapha. In other words, writings that, for instance, the Infancy Gospel of James or the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, etc. The History of Joseph the Carpenter. So there's kind of a category of pseudepigrapha that are trying to fill in the blanks between Jesus' infancy. We know a lot about that from Matthew and Luke. And the start of Jesus' ministry when he was baptized by John the Baptist. We know a lot about the Jesus ministry, but we don't know a lot about that intervening 30 years. The only story we have in the canonical Gospels is that story of Jesus going to the temple when he was 12 years old with his parents. And so people are always very curious, well, what about the rest of those 30 years? What happened during that time? So these books kind of fill in the gaps, if you will. And yet, a couple of things. Number one, they're pseudepigrapha. They were not written by James or Thomas or Joseph or anybody else that was important. And secondly, they were not accepted around the early church. And third, they were often written typically 2nd century or later, 3rd century, 4th century, way after the time of Jesus and the apostles. So these books were never accepted as part of the New Testament canon, the 27 books of the New Testament. You need to know that because some of the stuff in there is pretty bizarre. So I believe it's in the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, for instance. That's been in the news lately, actually, because a fragment of that was found, I believe, in Germany. A fragment of the Infancy Gospel of Thomas was found in Germany recently, or at least that was in the news recently. But the Infancy Gospel of Thomas has Jesus doing things like this. As a little boy, he gets mad at a kid on the playground, and he kills him. Does that sound like Jesus to you? Jesus gets mad at a kid in a playground and kills him, and he causes his parents to go blind because he's just mad at the kid. That doesn't sound like Jesus to me. So those are the kind of stories in those infancy Gospels of James, Thomas, History of Joseph the Carpenter, etc. Then there's another category of pseudepigrapha, New Testament pseudepigrapha, Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Peter, the Gospel of Judas, the Gospel of Mary. Very, like you say, well, I think I like to read those things. Well, go ahead and read them. There's nothing wrong with reading them. Just know that the stories in there were not accepted by the early church. The people who knew Jesus best said that is not what happened. And so they were rejected universally by the early church, by the people who knew Jesus. For instance, the gospel, I think it's the gospel of Philip, I believe. I could be wrong. It could be the gospel of Thomas. But one of them has Jesus married and kissing Mary Magdalene. Wow, there you go. That makes for a story. Well, of course, the people who knew Jesus best said that didn't happen. He wasn't married to anybody, let alone married to Mary Magdalene. Yes, she figures prominently in the gospel. Yes, she's the first one to see Jesus when he was risen from the dead. But that doesn't mean he was married to her. So you get all kinds of stories, again, in those pseudepigrapha, those apocryphal gospels, if you will. There's also, of course, we have the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles in our New Testament scripture, but there's the Acts of blah, 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 anybody, you know, you name the person, the Acts of Philip, the Acts of this, the Acts of that. And so there's, I didn't even list them on the screen here on YouTube, but there's tons of other writings that talk about what happened in the early church, and the early church rejected all of them and said, you know, these are just apocryphal stories. They're not stories that actually happened. And so they did not authenticate themselves to the early church and were rejected. And then, of course, there's a bunch of epistles, a bunch of letters, maybe claiming to be written by Paul, claiming to be written by Peter or James or John or Judas or whoever, different apocalypses, like, you know, the Apostle John wrote the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. Lots of other books like that written by others in the second, third, fourth century. The list goes on and on and on, really. But in general, what we should know about those books, all of these books, are that they were not written by the apostles, and they were not accepted by the early church. The people who knew Jesus best, the people who knew the apostles best, said, you know, these books, phew, they just don't measure up, and so that's why they're not included. However, we also should be aware that a lot of people will try to make a lot of money on these books because you go start digging through all these different gospels. You start digging through the books, all these different acts of this or that or the other, and then you start making up theories about who the real Jesus was. And, oh, the early church is hiding the real Jesus. The real Jesus actually, you know, made a bunch of birds out of clay and then had them come to life because he was just having fun or whatever. The real Jesus did this. Well, you make a lot of money doing that. You get yourself on the front cover of Time magazine doing that because people are always interested. The latest thing their itching ears can hear. But the reality is for the 20 and now 21 centuries of the church, the 27 books of the New Testament have always been the 27 books of the New Testament. There's been questions here or there about some. Martin Luther didn't particularly like the book of James, but hey, the church has accepted it in Luther's day, 1,500 years. And so Luther did not prevail in getting the book of James kicked out of the New Testament, for instance, because of its emphasis on works. That sort of thing has happened throughout the years. Various people have said, well, I don't really like this book, or I don't like that. But the Church Universal has accepted these books, and that's how they got into the New Testament canon. Again, a reminder, we did that topic in a previous podcast. Go back and listen to that if you missed it. Well, that's what we got for you today on Eagles on the Hill. I encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know if you learned anything today, if you got any further questions about this kind of topic or other topics that you'd like us to talk about. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. That passage comes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And because it is from God's word, we know that his promises are true, that God is always faithful, and that we can count on that promise today. So trust in his promise today. Thanks for joining us and listening to the podcast.